Michael, I hope you're ready to keep climbing, buddy, because Mike Norvell is being retained for the 2026 season. The news just broke. Love it, hate it, however you feel about it, we at least have finality, right? We at least have a decision that has been made. The school released a statement, which we'll cover here in just a minute, about him returning. And it sounds like there's going to be wholesale changes to the structure of the program. And one of those wholesale changes is not at the head coach position. So we are going to share some raw reactions to this. I literally just walked in the front door getting home from Raleigh from the NC State game. I know you got home late last night. So you guys, we're going to react to the news just about as raw as you guys probably heard it yourselves. And then we're going to have some conversations throughout the show, man, that some of these are going to be tough because at the end of the day, the decision has been made, right? And so we can be mad. We can stomp our feet. We can shake our fists. We can share the emotional reaction that we probably feel right now. And we will do that here in just a second when we get into the show. But doing that's not going to change anything now, right? He's not going to be fired. And so the question now turns, how can this be improved, right? I don't know that it can be fixed under Mike Norvell, but they're going to try. And so at this point, we have to just sit here and go, okay, this is how we feel about what's been said. Now what? And I think that's the more important question, right? It's perfectly fine to vent. It's perfectly fine to get your feelings out and be frustrated with it. We're all frustrated with the product that we're seeing every single week put under out on the field by Mike Norvell. But again, if he's going to stay and changes are going to be made, now the most important question is, where do you go from here and what can you do to get better? So, Michael, the news just dropped. You texted me on my way home. I was like, man, I'll be home in like 20 minutes. Let me get set up and we'll jump on and share our thoughts. So, man, let's start. What we're going to do is we're going to go through our initial reaction. Then we're going to talk about the changes that are rumored to being made, some of the changes that we personally would like to see, and the rest of the season, right? How that needs to play out, some things that we're looking for there. So, Michael, man, just give me some initial thoughts of what you felt when that news dropped.
Now, Jesse, I don't know what your upbringing was like. I grew up in what they call the projects, okay? And as I was growing up, I remember this cat, and you and I both have cats. So if you listen out there, it's not that I don't hear this and think, oh, he's a cat hater. No, we love cats, okay? But I remember we had this cat in the neighborhood, and this cat was tortured. This cat had stuff thrown at it. This cat just looked mangy and beat up, but somehow this cat kept coming back. And no matter what people did to that cat, it just kept coming back. It had more than 9 lives. It had a billion lives. It had 54 million lives. That's Mike Norvell. Okay. That's what's happened here. Mike Norvell is that mangy cat at the projects that just keep coming back over and over and over. No matter what you do, you snub that cat and it comes back. You have the worst 2-10 season and that cat comes back. You have a 5-minute debacle against NC State where a punt hits your player in the head, where you drop a surefire interception and your most sure-handed punt returner fumbles, muffs a punt there at the end, and then you give up a really ridiculous touchdown and you still come back. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Mike Norvell.
You ever think Mike just sits in his office sometimes and goes, what else do I got to do to get fired? I don't understand it. Like, how do they, you ever think he just texts like his wife or something? Be like, I can't, how am I not getting fired? I would have fired me a long time ago. How am I not being fired? And so sometimes you just got to laugh through the pain, man. You know what I mean? And that's kind of where we'll start, right? Is just the initial reaction. Like, I have just a flood of emotions when I hear this because, like, yes, I'm pissed off, man. I am as mad as everybody else out there about this, right? I'm so sick of losing. Like, I told you guys, I think we're now, I'm 2-7 in the last 9 mm-hmm. games I've been to in the last 2 years. And, you know, as someone who's a booster, a season ticket holder, a Battles End member, someone who spends, you know, these games cost I spend probably a good $1,000 a weekend to go to these games by the time you throw tailgates and lodging and all that stuff. It's tiring to keep pouring and investing into this program, both financially and emotionally. And what we do here with Plant the Spear, you know, having a business, frankly, that, I mean, we do this for fun, but it's still tied to the success of this program. I'm pissed off. I'm tired of this, man. It is taxing on the soul to keep getting embarrassed week after week. And it's not like you're just losing. You are the laughingstock of college football week after week because you just find these crazy new ways to lose, it seems like, every single week. And so, like, yes, I share the frustration. I share the anger of everybody who's probably watching this video. I know there is a subset of the fan base that still thinks Mike Norvell is the guy. I was talking to a lady at the hotel in Raleigh the other day, and she's like, I still have hope for him. I'm like, lady, we're 6 years. More than hope, 6 years into a tenure, right? Hope ain't a strategy. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. I'm mad, right? I am mad, and I want to convey that. But when we move past the initial anger of it, you got to understand where the program's coming from, where the administration is coming from. And I'll read the statement to you in just a second. But a big part of what the statement is it's like they have a responsibility to put out a good product, and they know that. But they also have a responsibility to not financially crash the program. And the one thing I will say is that a lot of people come on here and say Florida State is not serious about football anymore. And to that, I very vehemently disagree.
I disagree.
Like, Florida State just spent $400 million on football only. $1 million on only football. That football only facility is not a shared use. That's just for the football team. They didn't renovate all the sports facilities. They renovated Doak, the football stadium. They were paying Mike Norvell $10 million a year, one of the highest paid coaches in the country. They're very serious about football. I don't think it's that we're in a bad financial situation. I think we're in bad financial timing. I think that is the one thing to remember about this, right? If Florida State did not spend the $400 million on the facilities, they probably would fire Mike Norvell. I would almost guarantee they would fire Mike Norvell. But they did spend the $400 million on facilities because they are serious about football and they want to win. And so you got to take the whole picture into account because you're talking, you know, in the neighborhood of $70 to $100 million over the course of this change. Now, I understand all that doesn't have to be paid out at once. We get all that. But there are two sides to that conversation, right? You have to do what's best for the program. You also can't put yourself in bankruptcy to do that, right? And again, they just spent a ton of money investing into this program. You just happened to suck at the absolute worst time. And I don't think they planned on this. Now, they should have had. My biggest thing that I think I'm mad at the administration for, yes, I wish they would pull the trigger, but I understand why they're not. And that's the part when I said this conversation might piss some of you guys off because it is what it is, man. It's a hard conversation to have, but it's the reality of the situation. It is what it is. But back to what I was saying, the part I think that makes me the most mad is coming into the season, I really don't think there was a plan. I don't think there was a disaster plan to be like, man, what if this doesn't work out? You know, and I think after Alabama in the first 3-0 start, I think we were like, the administration probably went, dodged a bullet there. Thank goodness. We're back. We're good. I at least hope going forward that now they understand with some of the restructuring and things that they're going to do, you may have to move on to Mike Norvell in the near future. And so let's at least have these circuit breakers in place to where if this thing goes off the rails again next year or the year after or whatever it is, or you don't start meeting that standard very quickly, that this change does have to be made. So at least this hopefully has put those circuit breakers in place. But again, man, I don't think it's because they're not serious. I'm sure they're just as mad as everybody else to watch this product out there on the field. I'm sure they are. But again, man, you got to be prudent financially for the program too, because it is a long-term vision, right? You got a lot of stuff. You just sued the ACC. You just did all this stuff. All that stuff costs a lot of money.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so had you not have done those things, a lot of people would have been mad for that too. So yeah, we both agree that we want change, but man, you got to understand that it's not as cut and dry as making emotional decisions and just firing someone because they're not good enough on the field. And he should be fired. Let's make that clear. We both agree. He should be fired. He has not done enough to retain his job. He deserves to be fired. But in the context of the situation, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, LSU fired Brian Kelly and Penn State fired James Franklin. And I get all that. Their situation, financial situation isn't our financial situation. And Florida State just spent a ton of money into this program. So it's just not good timing more than anything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. When I think about my feelings, my instant reaction to this is one, I was just really frustrated by this. I got the news on the way home from church this morning, and I was just frustrated, you know, frustrated because, you know, I grew up in an era where, you know, we were in the conversation for a national championship. We're in the conversation. Well, it was a foregone conclusion that we were winning the ACC. You know, that's when I grew up, and I get it. You know, college football has changed over time, and that happens. But I also grew up in an era where we told the person who built this program that 7-6 and 8-5 and 9-3 wasn't good enough anymore. And we forced him out. We pushed him out. I grew up in an era where we told the first African-American head coach that the way it looked on game one, it looked the same way on game 19. It wasn't good enough. And I agree. I think he should.
And they said 6-6 wasn't good enough.
They said 6-6 wasn't good enough. I grew up in an era where a national championship head coach who had been flirting with every SEC school out there got pushed out because he couldn't commit to the program because he was a jerk, and it wasn't good enough. And so it's frustrating to see a coach who's had six seasons here at Florida State, has been given every known resource to man to try to be successful, who, let's admit, he did go from 3-6 to 10-3 to 13-1 for sure. Like, we're not going to just ignore the fact that the man did win 19 straight games. He won us a mediocre ACC championship at the time. You know, I'm saying he did get snubbed out of the college football playoff, a historical moment. Those things are true. Like, we acknowledge those things for those fans out there who are saying, well, you can't forget about that. No, we're not forgetting about that. That's real. But at the same time, he's been here 6 years. He's gone 3-6. 5-7, 2-10, and now, depending on how the outcome of Saturday game is, either 6-6 or 5-7. Okay, so of the 6 years, we climbed up that mountain and then we jumped off the summit and fell straight to the ground. That I'm frustrated with, because it's not good enough. And I've been programmed to believe that at Florida State, that's not good enough. I get that. I also had I also felt understanding, because you just spent $400 million, $250-something million on the stadium renovation. You can see behind me what they were able to do on the west side, right? Over $150 million on the football-only facility, right? You sued the ACC because that's what we wanted after the snub, to get a better get better parameters to get out of this god-awful conference, right? For sure. You spent money on getting some of the best players in 24. Supposedly, they weren't the best players. And then you spent more money to get better players in 25. You spent money to buy out the assistant coaches that you fired last year to go and get Tony White, to go get a Gus Malzahn to improve, right? So I also understand that you are financially leveraged right now, right? And as board of trustees, as president of the university, as athletic director, you have a fiduciary responsibility to steward the resources of the money well. You can't just be blowing that money. You just can't, because one, we don't have the money. We don't have the alumni base. Jesse's talked about this before. We don't have the alumni base, the money, the historics of an LSU, programs like that, Penn State, that have eons worth of alumni, that are billion-dollar alumni, oil money alumni, who can just fork over that kind of money. So I also understand that. And the third reaction I had is, you know, I'm calling it Arkansas-in. I have a good friend. His name is Landon. He's an Arkansas fan. He's born and raised in Arkansas. And every time I talk to him, it is just pure misery at Arkansas. Yeah. And they just expect that Arkansas can be up against Texas with 2 minutes to go, and they'll be up by like 30 points. And I'll be like, Landon, look, you're going to win. And he's like, no, we'll find a way to lose. And you know what? They always find a way to lose.
Yeah.
And that's where we are as a program right now. We just find ways to lose. Jesse, how many, in the last 5 minutes, how many times did I turn around and just look bewildered at you during that game at NC State? Like, how in the world did we find our way to lose? That's what we do. Now, here's why I want to respond to you a little bit as we have this dialogue here, is you know, you said, you know, one of the things is what we realized is that they didn't have a plan. And I agree. They didn't have a plan. But my question, my rebuttal back to me and to you would be, what did they need to have a plan for? Their plan was, they told you what their plan was after 2-10. The plan was for this to be successful. That was the plan. That's what they went into this year with. No one ever goes into the year with a plan of saying, well, if we have to fire him, this is what's going to happen. No program does that. Programs with money, they don't even think about plans. They just think, well, if we don't win, we just fire him, right? That's it. Programs with no money, they just think, man, he's got to win because we don't have another option. And I think Florida State went into this year thinking, we're going to pour as much resources as we need to make this work because it's got to work. We have so much money invested. We just can't cut ties. We just can't give $54 million right now. That was the plan. The plan was to succeed, and it didn't happen. So now what they're going to do, and we're going to talk about that, is they're going to put more, quote unquote, resources in there. The issue that it comes down to, and I'll throw this back to you, is on this: perception versus reality. That's what we as fans have to understand. Perception-wise, Mike deserves to be fired. It is not good enough. Reality-wise, Mike deserves to be fired. It is not good enough. Perception-wise, we don't have the money. Reality-wise, we don't have the money.
Yeah. The only thing I would say is I don't see how you go 2-10 and come into a year and go, there's a possibility the changes aren't going to work, right? I think you should have had at least been like, man, there's a possibility. Like with Billy Napier at Florida, it was like, okay, we're going to bring him back, but there's a chance this isn't going to work. So I think they should have at least had something in place like, all right, we're dumping a lot of resources into making Mike work, but there's a possibility it's not going to work.
Okay, really quick. The question though, the question I have for you is, we're dumping a lot of resources, to use your words, we're dumping a lot of resources into making this work, right? So they had to go to those boosters who would have wrote the check to buy out Mike and say, actually, we need you to write a check so that we can get better players, better resources, so we can support Mike. And then you're going to tell them, we need you to write that check. But then we also need you to write another check just in case it doesn't work so we can fire him. Those boosters aren't writing double checks. They're going to write one check. And so you used whatever influence you had to get the money for this year. That's why the plan was always that this would be successful. There was no backup plan that this wasn't going to be successful, because they knew that if it wasn't successful, they couldn't go back to those same boosters to ask for another check.
Which the problem in lies then, this year never mattered. It never mattered. So yeah. If he'd went 0-12, you're saying they would have never fired him.
I don't know about 0-12, but
so then that's a little contradicting, because again, you got to make a plan for that, right? Because if you say that, then that means the results never mattered this year, because they were never going to fire him anyway. And honestly, I think when they released the statement after Stanford, I don't think they ever had a plan to fire him anyway. I think they were just going to be like, man, let's just steady the ship. Let's hope for the best. I don't think they're going to fire him. And I think the problem is, man, like right now, the worst case scenario is, you know, because I agree with you, man. Like, I feel like we're going through the stages of grief. You know what I mean? And like, this is fresh to me, so I'm still angry. But I also think there's the apathy side of things where, like, man, how do you sell this going into next year? Like, you feel depressed because we put so much emotionally into this daggone football program.
Yeah.
And to watch them allow the standard to slip hurts, man. It hurts when you care about this program, right? It hurts when you see the program that Bobby built being flown into the ground, right? That hurts, man. And, you know, again, we were joking before, like, maybe, you know, you can't start climbing from the top, right? So maybe Mike just said, hey, I climbed to the top. Let me go back to the bottom and then we'll try climbing again. But I think you have that little bit of depression side of things too, where you're like, man, this is like, how can you sell hope for next year? And I know hope's not a strategy, so you got to actually make physical changes to make this work. But how do you sell hope next year? And let's just say you go on the road, and we'll talk about the rest of the season later, but what if you go on the road and you lose to a 3-win Florida team under an interim staff, because Lord knows you can't win a road game to save your life. What happens if you go 5-7, you just lost to Florida? Like, you already, and again, I understand, like, you cannot make your program decisions. You cannot make $70 million decisions based on what the fans want, because we're fans, we're fanatics, we react. That's what we do. We're emotional. I get that. But it feels like you just gave the fan base, who are a lot of your donors, your shareholders, we've talked about this before, it feels like you just gave them the middle finger, right? Because we don't care that we went 5-7. And I understand there's the financial side of it, but that's what it feels like
as
a fan. So how do you then come back to me, those same boosters that you asked for money before, and say, I know it's not been good enough, but we want you to give more money to Mike Norvell, right? It's like a guy who runs a Ponzi scheme, and you're like, I know you got ripped off the first time, but just give me money one more time, and I promise it'll be better this time. And it's like, man, it's going to be hard to help Norvell get out of this financially, because good luck raising donations. Good luck renewing these season tickets. And I think that's going to be the hard part of how you then get out of this. But I will at least say that I do think, and this is the hard part that a lot of people are not going to want to hear, right? I do think if this program, and one of the things that makes me mad is we've heard one of the counterpoints to what they're saying the change is coming up is that they're going to invest heavily into recruiting. Why did it take you this long? We know they can't recruit. We know you needed help recruiting. We know Derek Ray needed to be fired years ago. Now you're going to invest in that. And so that's the things that kind of frustrate me. Like, why did you wait for it to get this bad to start making some of these changes? But I will at least say when we convert into talking about the changes going forward, to a degree, you can kind of see where if you, and again, I know people aren't going to want to hear this, a couple changes could make this team better, right? It's just, again, man, it's the problem for me is it was always recruiting. The basement level issue under Mike Norvell. That was always the root of the problem was recruiting and development. It really does seem like this year there's been a lot of just you're not getting the best out of these players, man. Yeah. And I understand that you're not out there coaching them to make bad throws. You're not out coaching them to have a ball doink off your helmet. You know what I mean? And then a bad punt on top of that, doink off a player's helmet. Like, you're not coaching them to look like the Bad News Bears. But if it's the product on the field, you're ultimately responsible for that. And so I understand that subset of the fan base that's like, man, it will never get better under Mike Norvell. And it may not, right? We could come back next year and we could go 4-8 and we could be firing him next year. That's very much a possibility. But there are some things we were talking about before the show where it's like, man, I do understand there are a couple of changes that could be made that could fix things. And, you know, I tweeted out something the other day that we're the best 6-loss team in the country.
Yep.
And I know that sounds crazy to say, but David Hale tweeted out the other day, said the only teams to have outgained their opponents by 40 yards or more in all but one game this year is number 2 Indiana, number 5 Texas Tech, this is last week's rankings, number 6 Ole Miss, number 7 Oregon, and Florida State.
Yeah.
So we are doing the things to put yourself in a position to win. We're just finding ways to lose. And so I think there are some changes. You know, we go back to if you had solid linebacker play, if you had the 2023 linebackers and you had Jordan Travis out there, this is probably an 8-win team.
Yeah.
Because the hard part to stomach as a fan is like, man, I fired Mike Norvell in the third quarter of the Miami game.
You did.
But I also understand statistically, you are really close to being a daggone decent team, right? Yep. You have not been blown out. Like, look at Florida.
Yep.
Florida got smoked. And I understand they don't even have a head coach. That's a whole different situation. They got smoked by Kentucky. They were down 31-0 to Tennessee last night, Saturday night. You have not been in that situation.
Right.
Now, they
played
a little bit better teams, but most of the games you've been in, so you just have to figure out how to get over that hump. But the problem for me is, will the changes matter? Nobody knows, right? We talked about before the show where Brent Pry was a guy, I think he had like 6 1-score games last year, and they went 0-6 in those games. So you're like, man, you're so close to being there. All you got to do is figure out how to get over that hump. Well, this year they started 0-3, and he got fired. So there's no guarantee that these changes are going to work. Hear me say that. There's no guarantee we're not going 4-8 and firing Mike Norvell at the end of next year anyway.
Right.
But I will at least say, because like you said, he still went 10-3. He still went 13-0. He still won 19 games. There is no guarantee that doing some changes won't work, right? They very well could work. Now, I would say that I think a lot of that starts with the players, because I understand the argument from the fan base that says, this isn't on coaching, this is on the players. I disagree with that some, but I do think a lot of it is on the players because they're not coaching a lot of these players to do the things that they're doing. You go back to saying, if you're not coaching it, you're allowing it. But then I also throw back to you, how much was 23 on the players? How much was 22 just on the players? When you have a 6th and 7th year quarterback like Jordan Travis, when you have an elite edge rusher like Jared Verse and those types of guys. So the problem is, if it's on the players, then it's on the guy responsible for getting the players, developing them, and putting them in the position to win. And Mike Norvell has shown the ability to do that in 2 seasons, and he's been here for 6.
Yeah.
And so that is the problem. But, you know, as we talk about the changes, and I'll read the statement up next, but I'll throw it back to you for some thoughts, is that I think when you do these changes, because it sounds like most of the changes are going to be front office type of stuff,
right?
Recruiting staff. We're probably going to look at a GM, an NFL type of model thing. I think when you make these changes, I was telling you before the show, I think you need to make the head coach a piece of the puzzle, not the piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Because then if you fire Mike Norvell, the program can have continuity going forward. So you build a foundation. Because like we've said, man, Mike Norvell feels like he puts together teams every year. He does not build a program because it's the portal and all that stuff. And so I'm excited to see the changes. I'm anxious to see the changes and what they're going to do and how they're going to go about it. And I think the changes have to be made. And I think some of them for Mike Norvell, you're going to have to force his hand on some of these changes. And I've told you guys, like from the get-go, from the changes that I would like to see, Tony Tokars, you got to go. We have not developed a quarterback since you've been the quarterback coach. You got to go. John Papuchas, what are you even doing? Like, I'm really not sure. Because I was all in favor of keeping you when the special teams was great. It is an abject failure, and the linebackers are the worst part of your defense. He's got to go. And then Derek Ray is the last one. You got to go, man. You got to find someone who can bring in significant talent. But again, like we talked about before the show, man, you fix the quarterback position and you fix the linebacker position. Yeah, we don't have edge rushers, but good linebackers can clean that up. You do that, this team's probably 7-3, 8-2, and then we're not even complaining anymore, right? And so I'll throw it back to you. The change has got to be made, and there's no guarantee they're going to work. But the position that we're in right now is Mike Norvell is going to stay and changes are going to be made. So now we just have to wait and see what are those changes going to be and how they take effect.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, like the question as we were talking about the changes, the question is, it's not so much, I mean, yes, Mike is the head coach. And so it all falls on him, blah, 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 all those things. I think the question for me is, how much do I trust this administration to be a part of the change?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because again, like,
and I'll just say, I don't think Mike Norvell should be the leader of the changes,
right?
Because you don't know how long he's going to be here.
Correct.
You know, like you look at the new football only facility. I don't know who chose the players on the wall, but it's a lot of that 22, 23 Mike Norvell players.
Mm-hmm.
So like you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, we got a lot of great players.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I just think he should be a voice in the room, not the voice in the room for the changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He hasn't earned that right.
Yeah. I think when you're going about this changes, the number one thing you've got to do is you've got to determine, okay, is this going to be an NFL like model of a program? Meaning, you know, like we talked about, I said this in our pre-show, is that an NFL coach, most NFL teams, okay, program organizations, the head coach is responsible for 3 things, right? Number one, development of the players, right? They don't go recruiting. I mean, they're part of the recruiting when they're recruiting free agents, but it's really the GM and the agent, and then the coach, you know, kind of does that. And then, you know, then the GM and the agent are doing the contract negotiation stuff, really. So they do, the coaches do recruit in a way, but it's not like recruiting like college. But the development, they're there with those players every single day, helping them get better, right? Then number two, most NFL head coaches right now are calling one side of the ball or the other. They're either calling defense or they're calling offenses. That's the way, that's the movement right now. And I know this is probably going to be unpopular with a lot of us, what I'm about to say, but
it was not popular with me.
It was not popular with Jesse.
But listen, not popular.
Okay, but
I understood.
So that's number two. One side, the head coaches are calling one side of the ball. Why? Because it's saving money, so you don't have to hire that coordinator. You can use that money towards player
acquisition.
Thank you. And then number three, game day manager. You're managing the game. Those are the big 3 things. You're developing, including recruiting. You are calling plays, defense or offense, and you are managing the game. So one, they need to decide what type of program they want to have. If they want to have that type of program, then here's what you got to do. You got to let Mike Norvell call the plays. I know that sounds unpopular, but the man prior to 2024, we all thought, every single one of us, there's not, as we say in the black community, there's not one of y'all that didn't think Mike Norvell was a bad play caller. We all thought he's one of the best play callers in the country. And then 2024 happened, and we were like, that man can't call a play to save his life. And again, I would argue that, yes, he struggled in play calling, but because he had literally DJU at the helm, he had the worst offensive line at the helm. He had a bunch of terrible wide receivers, and miss me with the Malik Benson stuff because he ran a punt back at Oregon this Saturday. Go look at his stats. They're just as bad as it was at when he was here at Florida State. He's not this all worldwide receiver. Okay. It wasn't great. But prior to that, even when Florida State was terrible, right? Mike was calling plays, and he was running roughshod around Miami's, running roughshod around top five ranked North Carolina with his play calling. So get Mike to call plays again. Fire Tony Tokras, the coordinator there. Quarterback coach, who's not doing a darn thing at development, right? And then hire a good QB coach and take that money that you would have hired a offensive coordinator, throw that back into the player pool, right? You need a scouting department that is second to none. I mean, none. You need to go find the best scouts, and you need a mixture. They don't all need to be head coaches. You need a mixture of great former head coaches or coordinators who know the game and really, really good analytical people who can take the two and mesh them together. Right. That's why the Dodgers are what they are. Not just because they spend all the money, but they have really good scout. So their farm system is ridiculous. So they can trade those players to get better players. Right. That's why these NFL programs like the Rams, like the Seahawks, like, you know, Pittsburgh, that is always in it every year. You know, they have really good scouting departments. That's what you need to do. And then that way, Mike only has to worry about recruiting. He has to worry about game day management, and he has to worry about calling plays. Everybody else is all taken care of. He gets to make recommendations about players. He doesn't get to dictate which players, right? And that GM is saying, hey, you see these 3 5 stars? That's your goal. Go get those 3 5 stars. Don't worry about all that. We're assigning all the other players to those guys. You go get those 3 5 stars. Make it happen. That's what, in my mind, those are the changes that you have to make besides firing JP, who's the worst special teams coach in the history of special teams. I don't care that one of those things wasn't your fault. I get it. It hit the player. It bounced 30 yards backwards to the original line of scrimmage. I get that. You shouldn't have been in that position. Squirrel White, who you wasted tons of money on, should not have been in position to drop that punt. Right? It's just terrible. I mean, you missed 2 field goals in the game. They weren't even close. Not even close.
Your special team is terrible.
It's terrible. He's got to go. The QB coach has got to go. And let's just be real. Derek Ray, sorry, brother. You're catching strays. You've screwed this up the last couple years. Yeah. You screwed it up. This is not good, man. You're not a good GM. You got to go.
Yeah. And so a couple things that I want to touch on with that is, what makes me nervous too, and why I think you need to take a lot of the decision making out of Mike Norvell's hands when you make these changes, is when we made a lot of these changes, those 3 coaches we say need to be fired were 3 of those that were hired by Mike Norvell and retained through the changes. Now, there are some other coaches, Sertan and David Johnson and those, Chris Thompson and those other guys, but those were Mike Norvell's guys. And so those are the ones that are really lagging at their positions. And so, yeah, man, I agree. Now, I would say that with the play calling thing, that a lot of that depends on whether Gus stays or not. There's a lot of rumors that Gus is going to leave. I don't think you're going to fire him.
Yeah, that's if Gus leaves. Yeah.
Right. He could retire. He could take another job. I think you got to tell Tommy, thanks, but no thanks. I appreciate you for this year, but you got to go. It's just not a good enough, good enough quarterback, right? Nope. And so, yeah, I mean, I think like, and I will at least say in 23, there were a few things I didn't like about Mike Norvell's play calling, right? Some of the times when he refused to run the ball, Clemson comes to mind when we had it like near the goal line and we just threw the ball repeatedly. There are some things with that, right? But I also think Jordan Travis covered up a lot of stuff for Mike Norvell in that offense. And I don't think you're going to get that again because you haven't shown the ability to develop a quarterback. You're not going to have that guy who's been brought up through the system. You're going to go back to the portal again next year. And I know they're going to do that. So it comes down to, you know, when you're like, well, Mike Norvell has to recruit. Well, the problem is he hasn't shown the ability to do that. And so it's hard because you're placing the centerpiece of the program on what feels like the weakest link. That's the hard part because, you know, we're talking about in the pre-show where the changes that they've made, this is the hard part about understanding Florida State right now. Statistically, they look like they should be better than they are. When I recorded with the Virginia Tech guys, they're like, how the hell are you 5-5? It makes no sense. Your numbers are off the charts. And I'm like, man, but at the end of the day, the only numbers that matter are the win-loss column.
Right.
And that's where you're not good enough. And so that part does worry me when you have a guy who just hasn't shown the ability to recruit. And so I think, you know, to go back to the changes, if you want to say that Florida State is serious about football without firing Mike Norvell, well, here's where you show me, right? If you want to say, look, we really can't afford to bite off the part of Mike Norvell, but we're willing to do the things to be serious about this program, I think this is where you show me. Go get a $3 million a year GM who knows what the heck they're doing. Go build a polo army like some of these very successful, either Alabama's, the Georgia's, the Ohio State's of the world. Go find me these guys. Don't bring in, no offense to the guy, don't bring in Gus Malzahn, whose best years were 10 years behind them. You know what I mean? Go get these guys who can actually show you the ability to build a sustainable program, successful program around Mike Norvell. And so we'll see how it goes forward, man. I mean, that's the hard part is like, I don't know that I trust the administration. I don't know that I trust Mike Norvell to be behind these changes and make good enough decisions to get this program back. But that's just where we're at. That's the reality of the situation, and that's what's going to happen. And so I think if you want to say, man, look, we can't afford Mike Norvell to fire him, but we want to still be good at football. We want to still be a powerhouse program. Well, now it's time to put your money where your mouth is. Stop paying $900,000 for a washed-up quarterback that everyone told you not to take. Stop paying $800,000 for a 5'9 running back who, when he injures his ankle, you're just stuck with a bad quarterback.
Right.
It's time to go spend, right?
Right.
Mario Cristobal can't coach his way out of a wet paper bag, but he's got the NIL budget to build a championship-level program.
Right, right.
Go do that. You want to be serious? Like, you don't want to spend $70 million to fire these people? Well, let's put $30 million in NIL and see what happens, right?
Right.
I'm not saying this means you're going to win, because Lord knows you spend more than Stanford does, but it ain't going to help you not win by paying a $2 million quarterback. I'm not saying you got to pay $8 million like Carson Beck.
Right.
Maybe we need to pay $2 million for a quarterback or something like that. And it's just the reality of the situation in the game that we play now. We're 40 minutes into the show, but let me just read the statement real quick. Because I feel like this is probably about, I mean, what else do you say, right? He's staying. So now it's all about what do you do and how do you fix this? And we both agree that it's probably going to be like Oklahoma, where you did that kind of NFL model where you put less of the weight on the coach and you just let him focus more on the program. Now, the problem is you kind of let Mike Norvell do that by being a CEO head coach, and it didn't really seem to get a whole lot better. You improved. You just didn't really improve much in the win-loss column. And I hate the whole, well, it's better than 2-10. Well, buddy, we should have never been 2-10 to begin with. So you're improving from a place you should have never been. But so the statement comes out and says, Florida State University today announced that Mike Norvell is being retained as head coach, head football coach. With support from FSU leadership, Norvell has pledged to institute fundamental changes in specific areas to improve performance to meet FSU's championship standard. It's tough to mention championship standard right now.
The ACC championship.
Yeah, there's your championship. FSU Board of Trustees Chairman Peter Collins, Vice President and Director of Athletics Michael Alford, and I, coming from President McCullough, are in complete agreement that changes are needed for our program to improve. Coach Norvell embraces our support in that process and agrees that success must be achieved. We heard him say, are you meeting the standard? Hell no. He said it himself. He knows that. He continues to demonstrate an unwavering belief in this program's future, and so do we. This decision reflects a unified commitment to competing in the rapidly evolving landscape of college football while maintaining continuity within the program. This program has been built on belief, sacrifice, and putting the team first, Norvell said. That set of values has always guided my actions and those of our players. The driving motivation behind this is to make certain that we are doing everything properly to obtain and retain elite players, add critical pieces, and sustain long-term success. I love Florida State, and I am fully committed to the program and our shared goals. In addition to addressing the reality that on-field results have been far from acceptable for the FSU standard, we also realize our responsibilities as stewards of the program, revenues, and how to best allocate those dollars to compete at an elite level, something we will not compromise, said Collins. Throughout the assessment, one goal will remain beyond all others: achieve sustained championship-level success. We will address performance deficiencies in the program. These deficiencies may include structural changes to the very large and complex program FSU football has become, and these areas are where we will focus to invest. Our responsibility is to do what gives Florida State the strongest competitive position, not just today, but for years to come, said Alford. Florida State has invested hundreds of millions of dollars in its football program over the past few years with high expectations. Chairman Collins, President McCullough, and I are aligned in partnering with Coach to improve our ability to compete for championships. Our mission is unwavering and putting Florida State football at the forefront of college athletics. And I think that's what we basically said in a nutshell, right? They spent a lot of money. They invested heavily in this program. Yeah. It's a long-term outlook. You can't just base things on right now. But I think that's also why they didn't make the move, because they know it's going to be expensive and some of that money could be better put in different places. They still think that he can win, but the reality is, if the money ain't there, the money ain't there. And you can probably do some things at least to put the program in a better, more sustainable position for less money. And that's buying better players. That's doing the NFL model. That's doing all these things, bringing in better coaches and whatever you got to do, a better recruiting staff, enhancing the recruiting department and the things that you got to do. That's where they're coming at this from. And so it might make us mad to hear that, because we want the standard.
Right.
But let me say this one thing. This has never been about Mike Norvell, the person. He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah,
He's a husband. He's a father. He runs the program in the right way. I have no complaints with how he handles things from that aspect. But it's all about wins and losses. I've said it 100 times this year. It's a results-based business, and results have to matter. And so it's not been good enough. Again, he deserves to be fired. But like you said, the reality of the situation is it's just not in the cards right now. And so they're going to make changes to try and get this better. And at least I'll say this, if you have to move on from Mike Norvell, I think the changes that you're going to make, this is the future of college football, right? Whether you like it or not, whether it's with Mike Norvell, whether this was with Jimbo Fisher, whether this was with Nick Saban coming out of retirement to come coach at Florida State, right?
Yeah.
This new model is the way college football is probably going to go, because it's changed so much from the Bobby era, right? There's so many different levers that you have to pull in college football. At least if you have to move on from Mike Norvell going forward, this makes it feel like it'll be a more sustainable process to doing that.
Yeah.
But now I think the single, and I don't know what the changes are going to be, right? We don't know if they're going to go with the GM model. That's what we're sitting on our hands waiting for. The single most important next move you make is that hire.
Yep. Yeah.
Because that is going to be the one to guide your football program.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, this goes back to, you know, you read that statement and I heard two things when I read that statement. And when you read it back was long-term, short-term, short-term, long-term. That's what they're thinking. Short-term, what do they need to do in the short-term? How does this set us up for the long-term? And in the short-term, they are willing. Let me put it this way. They feel like the ROI on pissing off the fan base versus paying all that money is worth it, because long-term they're trying to set Florida, what they believe is setting Florida State up for long-term sustainable success. Right. Because if in my mind, what I'm thinking is they're thinking, if you gut it all and you bring in a new coach, you're basically reinforcing the same paradigm that it is right now. But if you keep Mike and you restructure the program to be what it needs to be, then if you have to move on from Mike, now you already have the program set up in the way it needs to be set up. You don't have to go after some big name guy. You can go after just a really good recruiter and developer, right? Pay them less than what those, you know, coaches are, because you're already got the type of structure you need to go get the best kinds of player, or at least, you know, best kind of player. The thing is, college football, the new era of college football has moved away from the personality coach, right? The Nick Saban, the Bobby Bowden's, the Jimbo's, the yep. all those kind of coaches. Like, yes, you still got Kirby. Yes, you still got Dan Lanning, right? But even they still have a more professional structure around them. But the way of these big name splashy hires, I mean, yeah, you still got the Lane Kiffin, of these big splashy hire coaches, that is, you're moving away from that. Now you're getting these coaches who are about X's and O's because they got the Jimmies and the Joes. And so I imagine that they're going to try to set this up in the same way. They're going to try to get Mike the Jimmies and Joes, and they're going to say, okay, it's your responsibility for the X and O's. If you don't got that X and O's, you're out, right? Now, you could make an argument that they should have done that this year, and I would agree with you wholeheartedly, but that is short-term to long-term. That's what that statement says to me.
Yeah, and just a couple of things, and then we'll start to wrap this up, is I do think there is a part of it. You're exactly right, and I do think a part of it is where – yes, the openings that were there this year probably had a little bit to do with it, right? Oh, yeah. You were probably not going to be able to go out and get a splash higher. No. Because there's a lot of competition for these guys. And I think you're right, man. I think the paying for a $10, $12, $13 million head coach is going to go the way of the dodo. Like, I think it's just not going to be the thing anymore. I think you're going to set up a sustainable model where you can afford to pay a coach who can recruit and do X's and O's, $5, $8, $10, maybe $10 million or whatever, and we're in a transition period.
Right.
So you're still going to see these schools out here bidding up for these coaches. But eventually, right. I think people are going to wisen up to that. You need to go to the NFL model because we're becoming like the NFL.
Right.
And the point that something that popped into my head when you were talking about this is the sustainability factor. And I think that's really what the school's after. It's like, look, we probably know we're going to have to fire Mike Norvell at some point. Right. I think they probably understand that. It's just a position that they're in. They probably can't do it right now. So if you can build a model that's more sustainable long-term, like you think about the NFL and the Patriots come to my mind when we're talking about this, right? So they had Gerard Mayo and they fired him after 1 year because things weren't good enough. And then you bring in Mike Vrabel and they're off to the races. They're one of the best teams in the NFL right now because it's not so, it's like every single factor is not based on what the head coach made the decisions, right? He's not choosing the carpet, the drapes, the paint, the front door, the mailbox, all that stuff. Like, he's just there to basically rearrange the furniture in the house and try and make it the best he can, right? So that's why when an NFL team changes head coaches, you don't ever hear them talk about we're in a rebuild, right? You hear them, they change head coaches, they go hit the draft, they go hit free agency, and you're expected to win right now. Well, in college football, yes, you still have to recruit and develop, but you also have the portal. And so if you can build that style of front office, then if you have to make a change, you're not going to come in and go, well, now we're in a rebuild, right? You can have some things that are independent of the coach. And so I think I would move on from Mike Norvell if I were in charge and I had a $60 million check to hand him.
Right, right.
But I'm also in favor of this type of changes, assuming that's the changes they're going to make, and that's what it sounds like. And so the last thing I want to touch on before we kind of wrap things up here, man, is just like we've talked about the changes, we've talked about the feelings, you know, to just being mad and depressed and all that type of stuff about the decision. And it's really just more the state of the program. Man, right. I've told you guys 100 times, I don't care who the coach is, as long as you win games. That's all I really want.
Right.
I want Mike Norvell to win because he is a good guy.
Right.
I'm just sick of losing. But I think when you look at now going forward, right, you need at all costs, and I promise you I'm not picking you on Saturday because we cannot win road game.
Nope, not doing that again.
We cannot win a road game. You got to beat Florida. You have got to beat Florida because you need, if Mike Norvell's coming back, you need those extra 15 practices for next year. Yeah. Now, you've been practicing all year, and you still aren't good. So I don't know if 15 of them are going to make a difference. But I think you need – that I think you need that bowl game to try and get some of these young guys ready because, you know, again, we've seen improvement with the new staff, like the Desir twins, Chroma, Danzy. Like, you're seeing some of these guys who are very young and are starting to pop early. So you have some nice pieces, right? Man, again, you give us 4-5 players off that 23 team, and I easily think this is an 8-win team, maybe even more.
Yeah.
And so I think you need to win this last game because, man, again, if you go lose to Florida on the road, a team that just got smoked two out of the last 3 weeks, the apathy is going to be at an all-time high, especially coming off that NC State game because you were hopeful. You're like, okay, after Virginia Tech, we're going to go on the road. I didn't pick us to win that game because I knew we couldn't win a road game in Carter-Finley. I think you wanted to see them do well in that one, and they did not. So now it's going to be a disaster if you lose to Florida because apathy will be at an all-time high. So, man, you have got to find a way to beat this Florida team. Now, in the long run, the long-term picture, does it really make a difference? Probably not. But I think you need to win this to get bowl eligible just because it's going to make you feel a little bit better about having that extra time to prepare, having some time where maybe you can start playing some of these, because we don't know who's going to opt out anyway, having some of these guys to get ready for next year because he is going to be back. And so I think that's very important. So, yeah, man, I think you got to try, and you got to try to beat that team coming up on Saturday. And you never want to lose to Florida anyway, right? No. But, man, I think if you could just beat Florida and get to a bowl game, I think you would feel a little bit better. You're not going to feel good, but you'd feel a little bit better going into next year. Like, man, the juju's bad at Carter-Finley. We were in that game, and we just kind of pissed it away in the last few minutes. But if you can go respond and beat Florida and then get to a bowl and get those extra practices, you're like, okay, let's, man, just – I don't care what you do, just fix it. But the problem is if you lose that game to a 3-win team under an interim staff to miss a bowl and miss that opportunity, man, that's just going to be a much tougher sell than it already was.
Yeah, I'm going to graciously disagree with you on that, and here's why. Because it didn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you do. They could go in that game and they could win. Once this news came out about Mike Norvell, the apathy is here. It's here. Welcome.
Oh, welcome. It is.
Merry Christmas, everybody. It's here. Like, and again, I love Florida State. I'm going to be rooting them on. I'm be cheering. I want them to win every game. So I'm not saying here's me hoping they lose. But what I'm just saying is I don't think it's going to be the disaster that people think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be the apathy that it's going to be because it's already here. The news of Mike Norvell coming back for most fans is worse than losing to Florida. Some fans feel like that right now. They feel like Mike Norvell coming back is worse than losing to Florida. So it doesn't matter what happens because here's what's going to happen, Jesse. They're going to go to Florida, and let's say they lose, whether big or small, and you're just going to say, of course, that's what they do.
Of course, that's what they do.
Yep. That's what they do, right? You're not going to be like, what the heck? How did they lose that game? They should have not lost that game.
Yeah. Beating a 3-win Florida team ain't going to move the needle.
Ain't going to move the needle.
In a good way.
In a good way. And it ain't going to hurt the needle in the bad way because the needle is already broken. The needle is broken. You expect the fact of the matter is that we just said we haven't even done our preview game, our game preview for this game yet. And we've both already said we are predicting them to lose. Why? Because they lose on the road. They've lost 9 straight games on the road. Right. I was the idiot who thought maybe they would go into Carter-Finley Stadium and then they didn't. And I got beer thrown on me. So you know what? That's what happens. It ain't like so what I'm saying is. There is no disaster. There is no apathy because it's already here. They're going to go to Florida and lose, and all of us are just going to be numb to the fact that this is what Florida State has become, at least under Mike Norvell, as long as he's here.
That's fair. I still think you want to beat Florida, and I still think
you do, but
you'd be pissed, but you'd be like, well, at least, golly, at least we beat Florida, and then you get the ball. It's all about getting the extra practice, right? Yeah. And again, I know it's not going to make a huge difference, but you can at least start prepping some of these guys for next year. Because again, like I said, man, you got to move on from Tommy. So I think if you make a bowl, you got to at that point, you just got to bench Tommy and let Sperry. Yeah. He's got a 4th game. He's only done 3. Yeah. I think you got to see what he's got because I think they're going to go with a portal quarterback next year. But you got to let Sperry get those 2 weeks of practice because it ain't Brock. And you got to let him play that game. And to me, and I don't think they're going to do that, but I think that's what you should do.
I know.
So, man, I don't know what else to say, right? It's tough. It's frustrating. We're just kind of on here just kind of venting, right? Like, I literally just hopped on as soon as I got home. I was like, Michael, give me 5 minutes, get my laptop set up, and we'll go. So that's really what we've done. I mean, we just wanted to talk about it. But,
Jesse, it's just, you know, really quick.
I was just going to say, it's just tough coming off of what you saw Friday night, right?
That was miserable.
such a piss poor performance in Raleigh. I'm glad, and I'll say this: I'm glad they finally you know, like you were saying, the poo or get off the pot. Mm-hmm. Whatever needs to be done, just do it one way or mm-hmm. the other. I'm glad they finally at least did this, because you also mm-hmm. have signing day coming up. So at least Correct. Now you can cement that. So I'm glad they at least said it.
Yeah.
It's tough to say that coming off of this poor performance. Like, I almost wish you'd have done it after Virginia Tech, right? At least coming off a win. I don't know that you're going to, like, if you say it next week after Florida, it's right before signing day and all that. I don't think this was there's an easy way to sell this anyway. Yeah. I'm just glad they at least it's not finally like every week. Is this going to be it? Is this going to be it?
Right.
Because we just at least we know. Right. Yep. So now you can prepare, like, man, we can stop guessing and we can just figure out how things can get better. And I'm not one of them that's like, pull your money, stop supporting the team. I get it. And I'm not going to tell you how to fan.
Right.
In college, you have a way to voice your opinion. But man, I just want to see the program get better. Right. Yeah. I just want to see it get better. That's all we want.
Well, I'll say to that is, you're right. In college sports, unlike pro sports, I mean, in pro sports, you can not buy tickets. You cannot buy merchandise. That's your way to voice, you know, frustration. But look, they got TV money just like college sports does. Right. Anyways, but in college, your money, the collective money matters a little bit more in the sense of, like, as far as the fan feels. Right. So for sure. But it's that catch 22 is what we were talking about in the pre-show, is that if you pool your money, you're resourcing your booster, your season tickets. Yes, they feel it, but then they also feel it as far as the on the field results, right? You pool your money, they don't have enough. They don't have enough resourcing to get the best players. So then they suck. And then you're mad again because they suck. And then more people pool their money and they suck even more. And then you're mad again because they suck. So it's like, it's just a really hard place for the fan to be in, for sure. Think about these last, I'll end this, my thoughts with this. Think about the last three, basically, off seasons of Florida State. In 2023, you were told you're not good enough, undefeated, to go to a playoff system. Last year, you were told you absolutely suck because you went 2-10. And this year, you're told, hey, you're not a serious program because you can't fire your terrible head coach. That is the last three off seasons for Florida State fan base. Like, at what point do we as a fan base get what we pay for? Like, the ROI, where's the ROI? Where's the return on investment of all the resourcing and money that we've poured in to this program to where we get back to being Florida State University? That's all I want to know. Now, if Mike Norvell comes back next year and they go 10-2 and they win the ACC and they go to the playoffs, I will forgive that man so faster than I can put on a pair of underwear, right?
Yeah.
But who's expecting that next year?
Nobody. The expectations are going to be low. The apathy is going to be high. And that's the problem. And, you know, like we said, you just create this perpetual cycle of, you know, I'll say this. Thank goodness for revenue sharing.
Oh, my God.
Because if you didn't have revenue sharing, good luck raising money through the traditional method, through like the battle's end. That would be impossible. And the less amount of donations they get. And I understand people not wanting to donate. I get it. Because like you said, where is the ROI?
Yep.
I've spent more money than I should have watching this team this year. And I almost forgot what it feels like to win. And that's the hard part. And so, man, it's just frustrating. Like you said, as fans, we talked about ROI with firing Mike Norvell. Eventually there's got to be ROI for us too. Yeah. Right. Because it's got to get better, man. It's got to get better. And this isn't good enough. And so I just think, like I said before, I think Florida State painted themselves into a corner, and I don't think they were entirely wrong for doing it when they did by retaining Mike Norvell. This contract was stupid. I don't know that he was really leaving anyway, but you got painted into a corner by Jimmy Sexton. It's what he does. The guy is freaking Picasso of painting programs into corners. But it's where you're at, right? And so Mike Norvell got a mulligan, and now he's getting another mulligan, and then he's got another mulligan. And so, like, eventually he's got to run out of mulligans.
Eventually,
if it doesn't work. And so
he's that cat that keeps showing up in the project. Man,
like, all the other cats are like, bro, how did he get 90 lives? I only got 9. Like, Mike Norvell's been, you know, hit by a car, run over. Like, I'll just, you name it, man. And it's just, I think as a fan base, we're just tired. And like, I don't even listen to Coach Pressers anymore, because I just don't care what he has to say. It's the same stupid message over and over and over. And so I think the fan base now is just going to be in the show me mode. Like, until you show me, I don't care. I don't believe what you say. Like, prove it, man. Prove it. And so, You know, Michael, the last thing I want to say here before we get out of here is talking about Friday night and just the kind of the experience up there in Raleigh. First off, I forgot to read the statement initially. I don't want to forget to do the ad read. If you're watching this and you still want to rep FSU, and maybe they'll roll out like program branded paper bags eventually for us. But Alumni Hall is our title sponsor. And so make sure you check those guys out, 1415 Timber Lane Road in Tallahassee, or shop online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page. Make sure you use code SPEAR to save 10%. But allow me, before we get out of here, guys, I just want to talk about Friday night a little bit, man. We threw a tailgate at Raleigh. We had a great time. We had a great turnout. I did not want to jump out of this episode because we didn't do a post game because it was kind of hectic getting out of Carter Finley. It was really, really late and all that type of stuff. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who stopped by the tailgate, everybody who came out. We had a lot of people show up. We had a freaking great time. If only the pregame wasn't the best part of the game, right? Yeah. We would like to get that part under control too. But man, I want to thank everybody who came out. We had a wonderful time. We met a lot of people, a lot of friends, returning visitors, things like that. There's too many names to name everybody. But I just want to say thank you to everybody that came out, and we had a great time, man. So I appreciate y'all. It's not going to be the last one. It's going to be the last one for this season, but we'll be doing more of those going in the future. So again, just huge shout out to everybody. We talked to a lot of people like, man, I already listened to the podcast. I follow you on social media. From the bottom of my heart, I appreciate you guys. You've been sticking with us through this dog doo-doo of a season and last year. So I really appreciate that. I mean, for, you know, I was talking to a friend the other day. He said, man, he wasn't there, but he, you know, he's a good friend of mine. He's been at our tailgates before. He was at Virginia, my friend Chuck. And he said, man, you guys do a great job with the tailgates. And if you're getting that kind of turnout now, imagine when we're good, right? Yeah. Imagine when we're good again, because you're trying to get people to go to an away game when we haven't won an away game in 2 years and we're still having the turnout. So that speaks to Knoll Nation. That speaks to this fan base. And it also speaks to why we deserve better than the product we're seeing on the field. So from me to everyone in the PTS family, I really appreciate you guys coming out Friday night. We had a great time and I really enjoyed catching up with all you guys.
Yeah, I would have loved. I had every plan to surprise you guys. Surprise Jesse, and I bought tickets day of, got on the airplane, and then my life went nuts. Airlines right now, just wow.
More of a mess than our football program.
I think they probably are fighting for each other.
Mike Norvell must be your air traffic controller.
Oh, my gosh. So I didn't get there till 3:02 left on the first quarter, and then sat with Jesse and some good people there and Amy and watched the game and, you know, had – you know, as good of a time as we could have in that debacle that we watched there. And so, but like all the pictures, even shout out to Shelly. If you're watching, got a chance to ride with her and her son Monroe on an Uber to the game there. And who's a big Florida State fan, big fans of the podcast here as well too. So man, grateful for you guys. You guys is what makes it make this thing worth keep doing. We love you guys. Keep subscribing. Keep checking in. If you're not a PTS member, man, become a member, because all the membership does goes back into being able to put on these amazing tailgate experience and other experience that we're hoping to be able to do in the future, especially when we get better again. There'll be a lot more things that we'll be able to do if you keep joining the membership. And so we'd love for you guys to do that. Thank you guys so much from the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah, for sure. And so with that, I'll just say, guys, if you're enjoying this, hit that like and subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. Check and make sure you're subscribed, right? A lot of people might think they do and they're not. So go ahead and just smash that button. It just helps us reach other Knoll fans. It helps us generate the things that we need to keep this show going, to keep all of our content free for you guys. Rate and review on the podcast. I know we have a lot of podcast-only listeners. That helps as well. And like Michael said, you can join the PTS tribe. It's only $5 a month. Everything you get goes back into the program. Man, we handed out 160 Jello shots and probably at least 100 beers, Cokes, waters, all that type of stuff. We have food all for the tailgates. This is like our third one this year. So, man, it just helps us keep putting out a better product for you guys. So, man, we appreciate if you would just consider that. And, guys, look, man, I know it's not the news a lot of us wanted, but it's the news we got. And so we're going to be here with you guys. We're going to keep rolling. We're going to keep standing in the paint. We're going to keep doing all that stuff, man. We just love this program and we love you guys and we love doing this. So we're here. We're here to go through it with you. Highs, lows, all that good stuff, man. Mm-hmm. So until the next one, Michael, which I don't know that I'm even looking forward to. the Sunshine Showdown. I don't even like, not a whole lot of sunshine in that showdown going on.
I was like, where's that sunshine coming from?
So we'll see. Blowing sunshine somewhere else. So it's at 4:30 on Saturday. And so we'll have a preview set up for you guys. It's going to be like a clown fight. So we'll see. We'll see. But we appreciate you guys watching again. Thank you from the bottom of our heart. And we will catch you on the next one. As always,
go Noles.